Welcome to Digital Garden State, a podcast by the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society.
Welcome to the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society podcast series, where we discuss emerging trends in healthcare technology and their impact on our industry. New Jersey HIMSS is a consortium of healthcare professionals, providers, and vendors who are committed to promoting constant improvement in the use of information technology within the healthcare industry. I'm your host, Mike Fortino, current New Jersey HIMSS board member and account executive with Galaxy Solutions. If I can only say my company's name right, maybe I would do a little bit better. Before we get started, I'd like to remind our membership that our chapter is supported by some amazing companies, and without their sponsorship, we could not deliver on our mission of healthcare technology advocacy and learning. Today's topic is top of mind for just about everyone in most organizations, regardless of industry, and that is artificial intelligence. And today we're going to discuss AI from the perspective of security, acquisition, policy, education, and operational changes. A whole lot of topics there. And to help us navigate our discussion today is Jesse Fasolo, Director, Head of Technology Infrastructure and Cybersecurity, Information Security Officer for St. Joseph's Health System in New Jersey, and Jerry Blass, President and CEO of Comply Assistant, a highly respected organization that provides healthcare compliance management software and professional consulting services. Welcome, guys.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's really good to have both of you on. I really am excited to talk about artificial intelligence and what that means to a lot of our members, all their organizations, what they have to do. So let's get right into it. Jesse, you know, there's a whole lot of places we can start here, but, you know, when it comes to artificial intelligence, you know, we always talk about it, and we've talked before a little bit, you know, there's that little bit of education that you know, maybe you might want to do a little research. And I do that from time to time, and I often get myself in trouble, you know, because I look at artificial intelligence and there's so many disciplines, so many different ways to go. But from a practical perspective, could you kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what your role is at St. Joe's and talk about, you know, your approach, you know, what the organization is expecting, you know, operationally from your perspective and kind of talk, get into, you know, even starting maybe with vetting potential AI partners. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. As far as my role at St. Joseph's, I oversee a lot of the technology stack and cybersecurity. So I blend both, you know, the concern of the use of AI and the concern and the duty of implementing systems that reside or utilize artificial intelligence. And, you know, one of the initial things that I contend with is really the definition and understanding of what is artificial intelligence and what's the mystery about it and how does that correlate to business operations within the healthcare system. At a high level, to try to explain to, you know, the business operations unit that want to throw artificial intelligence just like, you know, throwing a technology solution at a problem is quite frequent and quite pervasive in healthcare. So you have to approach it in a very sensitive, slow manner, really starting with education around that this is trying to simulate human intelligence to begin with a computer, you know, at its base level. And from there, kind of explain the use cases and the type of subfields that encompass artificial intelligence, because it's very broad, like you mentioned, starting with, you know, natural language processing. Large language models, you know, there's use cases within healthcare around vision and robotics and imaging, all utilized where now as a leader within the healthcare system, everyone's approaching me saying, well, this new solution has AI, I want it. So you have to be very pensive and slow about understanding what the use cases are, how it was developed, understanding what your intentions are, you know, is there a benefit, you know, from the investment of this technology, and go from there.
Yeah. You know, the benefit is always a challenge, right? Because a lot of times some of the risks that are not necessarily obvious to the casual AI, you know, observer or student, can really impact that bottom line. You know, and it's had a navigating that is just, you know, just another level of complexity to the whole process. Jerry, is there, you know, there's also a lot of different standards that are out there today. You know, there are new releases of NIST standards. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what might be either on the horizon or here today that would help with either guiding or causing more consternation when it comes to trying to implement an AI component into someone's operations?
Sure. So, you know, the basic HIPAA security rule, privacy and security, of course, from 20 years ago, has the, you know, the basic controls that cover protecting PHI and de-identifying it when necessary. So that would be a basic right there. There's going to be, I think there's going to be an update to HIPAA security this year. I'm not sure if it's going to include stuff around AI. But certainly from a HIPAA standpoint, we could probably see some impacts on business associate agreements, the notice of privacy practices, policies and procedures in general. And then when you talk about the NIST AI RMF risk management framework 1.0. Mm-hmm. So I read something that was published in January of 2023, and it says, as directed by NIST, the goal of the AI RMF is to offer a resource to organizations designing, developing, deploying, or using AI systems to help manage the many risks of AI and promote trustworthy and responsible development, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it's in its early stage. You know, everyone can Google it and read about it. We're actually bringing the version 1.0 into our framework, into our platform as we speak, mm-hmm. so that, that it could be available to our clients. So, you know, there's going to be, I'm sure, plenty of guidance coming down the road. There's even guidance around legal stuff. Like, for example, with the generative AI, GPT, you know, it's been scraping information and perhaps been scraping proprietary information from maybe like New York Times or things like that. And then so that's input, and then output could actually result in plagiarism. And so that's one of the things that's occurring with the generative AI is where's the output coming from? And is it actually copyrighted or is it plagiarism? You know, so that's just one little aspect of it that, you know, I've been reading about. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, when you think about, you know, large models, language models, big data sets, you know, if this is a, let's say, a cloud, you know, hosting, mm-hmm. then, and that's just as an example, you know, if they're doing a training model and it starts out with identifiable health information, well, that has to be de-identified because it's training. It's not actually being used, but it should be protected by de-identification. The actual live data set or database should mm-hmm. then have all the controls in place around like a SOC 2 audit, encryption, and, you know, and things like that. So you think of all the data that's going to be out there is really more locations of potentially PHI that has been increasing over the years, and this is another case of it increasing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But I do have one little summary here in that, so what is AI and what is it not? And Jesse touched upon it. So it is a technology evolution that will bring significant change, but it's been with us for 40 to 50 years. I don't know if everybody knows that because AI is the word being used everywhere now. Mm-hmm. So everybody thinks it's brand new. But it's been around for 40 to 50 years. And what it's not something new. It's not a threat to humanity yet. And it's not a creation of computer brains at this right. point.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that level of explanation is important to explain. You know, it's a technology that's used. I think the thing that for me that is concerning is use of it, right? And how we are so quick to rush to the new trend. You know, Jerry, you mentioned policy. I can bet you most organizations at this point don't have the necessary policies in place to you know, provide guidance on AI use, acquisition of AI within their organization, review of any AI models or development. You know, how do we as an organization ensure when we partner with a company that uses AI, how do we ensure that their AI system will continue to function as we bought it, or will it evolve and become something that it should?
Yeah, exactly. How will it evolve?
Yeah.
But you know, Jesse, you having all of that in place even prior to vetting a partner, AI partner, is so important now. And you know, it appears everyone's behind.
Yeah, I think everyone. Right. I think it's a total. You know, the United States has been behind. In Europe, they've been talking of controls and regulations on AI for 2 or 3 years now. They've had documents and standards out. I think the U.S. is finally getting there. NIST RMF AI 1.0, like Jerry was talking about, is a great step forward. It's great guidance for many health systems that do follow the NIST framework for their risk and security purposes. But again, this is a whole new learning curve with no education. Everyone has to adopt quickly because we're moving at a faster pace with partners and vendors implementing AI and releasing it as a product release and not really talking about it to the customer, right? They've added AI on the back of the, you know, the back end system, and that's great and it's beneficial and it does help. But are they following controls and do they have the necessary security in place and, you know, discussions happening on their organization? And we don't know. And Jerry also brought up a really good point in the business associate agreement and contract agreements. Now we have to be really careful about what the use case. For years now, we've talked about business associates and data use policies where what are you going to do with my data? And you can use it if it's de-identified, and that's great. But typically, when you go through those agreements, you're understanding that they're going to use it for betterment of their system, not offer that data as a subset of data to be utilized by other firms and other organizations and on the internet freely. And do we trust organizations that de-identify? You know, and will artificial intelligence be smart enough to then cross-correlate those data points and identify people in the future? It's very concerning.
Yeah. You know, I think the buzzword is that, you know, for folks to really try to understand when somebody says it's AI, Mike, you mentioned there's so many derivatives, but, you know, if somebody's going to say, okay, well, there's machine learning, there's large language models, there's NLP, and I think three-letter acronyms and two-letter acronyms is all over the place here. You got ANI, which is artificial narrow intelligence, AGI, ASI, conversational AI, text AI. I mean, you go on and on and on, but, you know, people are better off not reading that stuff. And maybe as you're vetting an application, look at the use case and how it's going to benefit your organization, you know, such as with the problem with nursing, you know, with the pandemic, nurses were originally heroes and being hailed. Then all of a sudden reality set in and they, be becoming exhausted with the work. They were having trouble keeping up with everything. And the older nurses retired. The younger ones realized that they could become travel or agency nurses and make a lot more money. And so, you know, some of these nurse management aspect of AI could mean, you know, if they have issues with having enough nurses or the cost, you know, these systems could provide the result of doing some of the routine things that nurses do, taking that off their hands, maybe under education for new nurses, maybe automating that. So the whole idea here with the concept of AI in nursing is to try to make it well so that the nurses can manage and actually care for patients without a lot of routine stuff that takes up their whole day.
Yeah.
You know, so the use case to me of applications is almost more important than just saying, oh, it's AI.
Right.
Because what does that really mean? And so is it going to benefit your organization is the key thing.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to ask Jesse around, you know, what his experience is from a you know, what are the typical requests for, you know, either optimizing, optimization of a given workflow within the, within the hospital system? You know, is it patient focused? Is it supporting, you know, your frontline folks as the nursing teams? Is it revenue cycle management focused? And the one aspect that, you know, I'm curious about is what's the feedback mechanism, right? So if there's a workflow that's been deployed, it's got an AI component to it, whatever it may be. And, you know, it's the expectation that, you know, there's improved workflow, faster, better quality, safer. But, you know, there's always things that come up where you need to change or modify to make it even better or to address an issue. So what's the feedback to in order to accommodate that within the technology, the model, whatever you're using?
Yeah, that's a really drawn out, deep question there, and I'll try my best to approach the different aspects of it.
Jesse, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, you know, I think like we talked about earlier, the evolution in the use case of AI is prolific. It's going to be utilized in every tool. And I think right now, what I'm seeing and what we have, even in our organization, is it started out really artificial intelligence on billing, coding, decision support, and medical imaging are the forefront of use cases for this tool. Mm-hmm. You know, analytics as well, right? So now you're having analytic platforms that will tell you where your organization is going and any risks. You have, like I mentioned, the imaging, radiology, cardiology. To look at an X-ray, MRI, CT scan and do an initial pass over it and identify things based on a massive bank of data, you're seeing healthcare organizations become quicker and also find and do catches that the normal eye may have not seen. And it's helping patients. So that's all great. Decision support, right? Physicians are burdened. Nursing is burdened. What tools that are being provided in most EMRs now that they're adopting AI, or charging for AI as an option to add on, is decision support, right? Giving recommendations and guidance for diagnosis and possible treatment plans or education plans or medication selection quicker. Helping with notes, helping with guidance during their charting, right? What to do next, where to go. Those areas, like I mentioned, are helping healthcare. That's what I'm seeing. As far as technology to support it, luckily, there's a trend in healthcare of outsourcing or service hosting, where the provider or EMR or application is hosting the software, and they're adding on, like I said earlier, a module for AI. If you have to support AI, you're back down to the technical requirements of high bandwidth and high low latency for storage, and you're back to the I guess the older way to think about things is ensuring your core infrastructure has the performance to support it. Those are the use cases that I'm really seeing in the future. You know, with analytics now and data that healthcare holds, you're going to see, strategy built off of AI, built off of the analytics and the data that the healthcare system has, right? What to do, patient flow, you know, length of stay, all of these areas and issues that impact healthcare can be helped by the use of AI. And, I'm really happy that we're here and we're in the present and this is happening, but, you know, roll it back to, you know, do we have the controls in place? Are people educated in its use? At the end of the line, it's still a human that needs to interact with this machine or a computer or algorithm.
And Jesse, you being, you know, CISO, I'm sure that, you know, the aspect of helping with cybersecurity as well, so that breach detection, monitoring, you know, response, maybe you want to talk about that, because I know that AI is being used to maybe quickly find anomalies on the network that looks suspicious and alert, so that maybe the time frame to realize that somebody is on your network, some bad actor, could be reduced. And that's something as a CISO you could probably expand on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My previous answer was really on healthcare operations and strategy, but if you want me to focus on information security, it's just another hat that I wear. It comes down to behavioral analytics, or analysis rather, and intelligence that AI provides. And you mentioned a couple of them. Endpoint detection is like number one. It is the base entry point where AI is being seen and utilized. A lot of these top-rated endpoint detection systems are leveraging AI now because it helps their 24/7 workflow. It helps their identification of malicious attacks or the attack chain. Other areas, is intrusion detection, right? Monitoring the network, really identifying any suspicious activities and anomalies. Any healthcare organization, any healthcare system that uses a SOC or a NOC, they need systems that are autonomous that can you leverage AI that, can do this better than a human, right? If you roll back 10 years ago when a SOC was just looking at alerts that were coming in from systems and they have to field thousands of alerts per hour. Now that whole process is broken down and boiled down to a system alerting you on most critical and secondary or tertiary attempts or attacks within the system, and it can correlate across all systems. One of the other technologies that I see in information security and cybersecurity is, we collect a lot of data, and these SIEM tools also, is a great repository for all of this data. But then there needs to be an automated way to utilize that. So organizations have adopted SOAR, which is security orchestration, automation, and response systems that then take action and do perform tasks. Now you're seeing those systems embedded with artificial intelligence that not only see do the threat analysis in an automated fashion, but then take action on them. Again, most cybersecurity teams working 8 to 5, they need help. Most organizations now being attacked in such a prolific manner in healthcare, they need help 24/7, and they need other eyes, not just human, but software to help. Incident management is another area where artificial intelligence can analyze and correlate the real-time data and really do early detection on threats, right? And act much faster than I would as a leader. And then the other area I would touch on is classification of data, right? Healthcare is riddled with unstructured data. And now you see attacks not only using ransomware. In fact, you find attackers not encrypting your environment, but rather exfiltrating data. So the leverage of those tools to really classify your data, categorize it, helps you then put the controls to ensure confidentiality and safety and sensitivity around that data. Those are the areas from information security that I'm seeing that can leverage artificial intelligence.
Well, I could see why you're a doctor, Fasolo. Right?
Yes, I appreciate that.
You recently have your PhD. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And we know that the bad guys are using AI as well to attack and try to find the vulnerabilities more quickly, and have successful attacks. So the good guys have to use it too, obviously, to offset the bad actors. Have you, Jesse, read up on that part of it and how the bad guys are using AI
Yeah,
to
you said it best. The good guys use it, well, so do the bad guys. And they have
Right.
bad intentions. And there's a couple areas, especially with artificial intelligence, that are concerning. I think for me, the attacks just using AI-generated attacks to manipulate models, data security, intrusion detection systems, and malware detection systems. Could you imagine using AI to stop your EDR or your IDS from finding things, right? Making the traffic or making the behavior not something that's on the radar. And artificial intelligence can do that, right? It's just the backwards process of the action. It understands what's triggering the event, and it will work around it. So immediately there, if someone's in the environment and leveraging their own AI tools to attack you, it's going to make it very hard to identify them. Right off the top, I think organizations are now seeing phishing attacks, right? AI-powered phishing attacks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Acting as if they are working in the organization, using very popular behavior and communication patterns that, that come out of the organization, data that's scraped off your website, off of your social posts, using individuals that are out there all associated with your organization, using vendors that are partnered that list you as a partner to attack you with. This is happening. So education around that needs to be amped up, right? Security education. One of the things that organizations don't think about when we talk about new AI tools is a hacker can also modify and inject code and change the data and change your AI system.
Right. Yeah.
So from a third-party perspective, you know, we're relying on, and I'll give you this very bad example. You're relying on artificial intelligence program to help you with imaging, but this malicious bad actor wants to change all the outcomes of what their tool is doing. And they're in that system modifying those records or modifying the data or modifying the
wow, that's dangerous. Holy smokes.
You know, and then that would trickle down to all systems, all healthcare systems using that. And then one of the big ones you see in the news now is, some deep fake. Right. So there was a CFO that was just recently deep faked and they took they got away with millions of dollars from the organization and they deep faked video and audio of that CFO. And they did, you know, transfers out of the organization and the money is gone.
That was the one in Hong Kong.
Correct. And then the other one is biometrics. Right. Organizations have relied on biometrics, but now AI can create them synthetically, right? Create fingerprints and create facial recognition images and bypass your systems that you rely on and you believe that you're safe because of. But hackers are starting to exploit these. So just like you said earlier, you know, as fast as we're trying to use AI, so are they.
Yeah, so are they. Mike, did you hear about that one in Hong Kong?
I did not.
Yeah, this employee was on a Zoom or something. It was some kind of a, video meeting. And, it looked like he was talking to his leaders, including the CFO. And they were instructing him to transfer 25 point something million.
Yeah.
And he did it. But it was actually a deep fake. It's kind of crazy.
It is.
Crazy
it's,
world.
It's frightening. And it's something how quickly they were able to manipulate or to use, right, the AI tools in order to do that, right?
Right.
So it's
like right now, I don't know if you know, but Jesse and I are actually deep fakes today.
Are you really?
You're not talking to real, real Jerry.
I'm a deep fake of a deeper fake. So.
Okay.
Ahead of you. Yeah. I'm not just a pretty face.
Well, see, artificial intelligence can get along.
Get along, yeah.
Well, we're coming up on about 30 minutes here, and this is a great discussion. I think if there's any parting thoughts, Jesse, that you may have, Jerry, I'd like to hear them, and then we can wrap up.
Well, if I could start, it kind of summarize. So buzzwords and high-profile new technology from the past, Y2K, there was multimedia, blockchain and Bitcoin, internet, which text to graphic and then voice activated. These shifts in technology often take years or decades to resolve, resulting legal, copyright, privacy, and technology delivery. Mm-hmm. So, this is not going to be something stagnant. It's going to obviously continue to evolve, and you know, and it's basically a new technology, just like we've experienced in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, you know, with the internet, people thought things like people were going to lose jobs and things like that. They're thinking that about AI, but you know, it's not necessarily totally true. So, but the other aspect of it is, I think it's important to educate senior leadership and the board to formulate a rational and strategic approach to AI without muddying the waters with undue concern and misinformation. And that's really a responsibility of healthcare leaders.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, a practical approach to identifying and understanding risk. I'm sorry, Jesse, you're about to say?
No, I was going to give you my two cents.
Please.
Departing comments here. I think healthcare organizations, to tie into what Jerry was saying, really needs to implement governance around governance frameworks around AI, adopt and build out their risk management strategies around AI, ensure that they have the technical safeguards around artificial intelligence, really to comply with HIPAA. And again, we talked about a couple opportunities where bad actors can leverage AI. We talked about education. We talked about training AI. We talked about some areas. All of these need to have controls, necessary controls within your partner, your third-party realm, as well as your own organization. And again, the goal here is to maximize the benefits of AI really for patient care. When we come down to it, it will, like Jerry said, this will be utilized. It will help patient care. It will help data security. It will help help operational efficiency across the enterprises, and it's much needed, right?
Yep.
So I would say, you know, conduct privacy impact assessments on your AI tools and your systems. Implement appropriate data protection measures, and then foster really a culture of accountability and transparency and ethical use of AI, right? Don't rely on AI to do your job, especially in the clinical realm. You know, if education is at the forefront, then you can get ahead of that. But, you know, when we talk about the use of AI, there still needs to be humans at the end of that, that confirm and validate that the use case of it or the data, the output of that AI tool.
Right, right. Should be another tool in the toolbox. Well, this has been, an education for me, and I'm sure for our membership. This has been a very good discussion, and I, on behalf of the membership, we greatly appreciate your time. I'm hoping that we could have another discussion soon, and maybe pick up on another aspect of this whole of AI and what it really means to make that part of an organization's operations. So would really like to do that whenever we can. So that wraps up our discussion for today. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Stay tuned for more episodes, and by all means, check out our podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. We are New Jersey Hymns. That's NJHIMSS on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podbean, TuneIn, and we're also going to be on YouTube as well. And please subscribe to our channel on those platforms. Hit those like buttons. And you can also find our podcasts on our website, njhymns.org. Thank you, Jesse. Thanks, Jerry. Really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.